The format of this speaker series is speaker discussion. Our speaker today is Melody, who will share on the topic of honesty and unity. Thank you, Melody.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you to Danielle for asking me. Yeah, so I'd like to start out with the tradition and the principle behind it. So tradition one, the principle behind it is unity. And the short version of tradition one is our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. The long version from the Alcoholics Anonymous big book is, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of the great whole. Of a great whole. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but individual welfare follows close afterward. Okay. I'm not sure if that comes from the big book or another source, but I did look it up and that's what it is. Okay. So unity, so much I could say about that, but I'd like to read a passage from the big book on There Is a Solution. This is one of my favorite descriptions of the common purpose and common solution. So this is from There Is a Solution. Okay, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who would normally not mix. But there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to capstan's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news the book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. An illness of this sort, and we've come to believe it an illness, involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. If a person has cancer, we are all sorry for him and no one is angry or hurt. But not so with the alcoholic illness, for with it there goes annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad wives and parents. Anyone can increase the list. We hope this volume will inform and comfort those who may be affected. There are many. Highly competent psychiatrists who have dealt with us have found it sometimes impossible to persuade an alcoholic to discuss his situation without reserve. Strangely enough, wives, parents, and intimate friends usually find us even more unapproachable than do the psychiatrist or the doctor. Now, this next paragraph is in italics, which means it's like really super important in the big book. So it says, but the ex-problem drinker who has found this solution, who is properly armed with facts about himself, can generally win the entire confidence of another alcoholic in a few hours. Until such an understanding is reached, little or nothing can be accomplished. Okay, so basically what it's saying is only somebody who's got recovery is recovering. And I use the word recovered, recovering, in recovery, they all mean the same thing interchangeably. I'm from a bunch of different schools of OA. So, but yes, a recovered alcoholic, in this case, a recovered compulsive eater can help another compulsive overeater where no one else can, okay? Those of us, including myself, that have tried everything, we have tried therapists, we have tried dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, every diet imaginable under the sun. And the only thing that brings me to any modicum of sanity and peace and joy and the promises of the program is this program and the fellowship. So as a recovered compulsive overeater, I have to work with other compulsive overeaters. I have to have sponsees. I have to go on meetings. I have to work with the fellowship and stay connected. So it's our unity that brings about a ton of healing. So we're connected through this solution of expanding our spiritual lives and of being in selfless service to others. And we are connected because we all have a common problem. But what it's saying in there is a solution is that, more importantly, we all have a common solution. And that's the inspiring part that brings us into, as Bill said, the fourth dimension of existence. I am so, so grateful for this fellowship and our unity that bonds us together, even though we might not give each other the time of day. We might not have, had we not been in this program, right? It says in there is a solution, you know, from steerage to the captain's table. It doesn't matter, rich, poor, whatever religion we are, or whatever race or sexual orientation or anything, it doesn't matter. We have a common problem and, more importantly, a common solution. And that is, it's really awesome that the first tradition is about this unity that we have. And in the short version of the tradition, well, no, it's in the long version of the tradition, it says that AA, in this case, OA, must live or we will die. And I think they mean that literally, but also figuratively, because I think we've all been there. When we are in the food and in our disease, it's hell. It's hell on earth. We're in the bedevilments. We can't wrap our brain around things. We can't think clearly. We don't feel useful. We're in self-pity. We're in depression. We're in extreme anxiety. Our lives, we look around and there's anxiety everywhere. And the people around us are, they're all messed up. All the people around us are messed up. And it's amazing that when we bond together and we help one another and we lift each other up and we bring each other into recovery, all of a sudden we look around and these same people that were a mess are perfectly fine. You look around, wait a minute, are these the same people? So we have an entire psychic change, right? It's really a miracle. So the unity that we have here is not to be taken for granted. For me, I'm going on, it'll be May 6th, 2 years of abstinence. And I was chronically relapsing before that. I've been in and out of the room since 2008. And my last relapse was 3 years. And I can truly say that I have been to hell on earth. I had a business. It crumbled around me, 3-location business. I had people suing me. I had haters in 2 different states. It was a big, huge problems that were extraordinarily difficult to solve. And it was through crawling back to these rooms and through the fellowship and through a wonderful sponsor and through working these steps as if my life depended on it, where I got myself back on my feet. And today I have a life that I couldn't even imagine having 3 years ago. Today I'm making a good living, earning, you know, money and in exactly what I love to do. I happen to be a music teacher. And so I've got all these private students and I teach a choir and I'm directing a musical. And I mean, I've got more work than I can handle. And my husband and I, we almost parted ways 3 years ago. Our marriage was on the rocks. It was a mess. We are stronger than ever, but it's all about expanding the spiritual life and about this common solution that we have together. So I do agree with the tradition that, you know, we have to keep this going, you know, or else we at the very least die spiritually, because it's only us that can help each other. Nobody else understands this cunning, baffling, and powerful disease. Maybe alcoholism is becoming more into some sort of understanding, but certainly, I don't know about you, but I've been to doctors, nutritionists. They do not understand food addiction. A lot of people don't think it's real. They think we can just, you know, stop. And if that was the case, we would have all done it, right? Okay. So unity. All right. I am going to speak on honesty. Okay. So, and I'm going to get a little bit of light in this room because it's getting dark and I'm getting dark. Hold on. Right back. Okay. That should be better. Yes. Okay. So honesty, this disease, cunning, baffling, and powerful, it's really squirrely. It's really, the disease is dishonest. Not only dishonest with the food, but dishonest with people, and with ourselves and with God and with everything. And I love that the whole foundation of this program is honesty. Like, it's step one. Okay. So we were powerless over the food dash our lives had become unmanageable. Now we can only be honest to the degree of which we are conscious, right? So in step one, yeah, we're asked to have a firm foundation on honesty. And I don't know about you, but I've lied to many sponsors about food, about my abstinence. Lied. I'm in my kid's snack cabinet telling my sponsor that I'm abstinent. Why did I do that? Well, I mean, if what we do in this program is kind of a litmus test for how we are in the rest of our lives, I was trying to control people. Okay. I was trying to control my sponsor to stay with me. Right? So she didn't drop me. Okay. And in my life, I would twist my words like lie. Okay. In order so that people were not mad at me, or I didn't upset anybody, or they didn't leave, or, you know, all these things. And that was a way that I've coped since I was a little kid. All right. So it wasn't easy, you know, getting honest, but I had to in order to recover, because my life had gone down the tubes so badly. That was a blessing that it went down, because I think that in OA, myself included, we can get it that first half of step one, that we're powerless over the food, but then we don't get that dash. Our lives have become unmanageable, because our lives are fine. Like, we're fine. We're okay. We're doing all right. We just have a food problem and a weight problem. So, and that's okay. If that's what you're that's what any of us are conscious of. And I too, you know, I just had a weight problem. Okay. And I was fine. I was accomplished. I had 2 college degrees. Okay. I'm a talented musician. And I was married to a very nice man who treated me well. I had a kid. All right. My life was fine. Well, so it seemed. Okay. But I couldn't stop eating. I was eating in restaurants 2-3 times a day in restaurants. Okay. While my business was going down the tubes and my last relapse, spending money on loans, credit cards, I had loan sharks. And yes, I did have to go bankrupt. One of the best things that ever happened to me. I don't want another credit card or loan for the rest of my life. And I'm very happy about that. Okay. But, what had, what had happened was that each relapse, my life got more, like, I was conscious more of how miserable I was. But when I started out in OA, my life was fine. I just had an eating problem. But really, if I look back, there's a lot underneath that eating. Okay. Like a lot underneath it. Like I put the food down and I'm discovering, oh, really? Self-love, self-forgiveness. That's a thing. That's actually a thing. Really? Like, oh, like I can develop a God of understanding and he can like love me and forgive me because I can't do it myself. So levels of honesty, again, you can only be honest up to your consciousness. Okay. All right. So this is 15 minutes, Jenny. Okay. Thank you. So I could only be as honest as I was conscious of on one hand. On the other hand, as I said, the dishonesty of this disease is very controlling and manipulative. And it wasn't even occurring to me that that's what it was, but looking back, that is definitely what I'm doing. What a relief to be in recovery today, to have gone through 2 years ago with a sponsor that I couldn't lie to. I just could not bring myself to lie to her about the food. They do say that if you're lying to your sponsor about the food, you have a wrong sponsor. And that's been my experience as well. So when I was finally ready and I got this sponsor, she was really great. And I was 100% honest about the food. And I will tell you, I have not had one single bite of an allergic substance since May 6th of 2019. That is 100% honest. Okay. My weight did plateau all of 2020. I became very sedentary. My lessons that I was teaching became online, stuff like that. But I went through a deep dive on the steps. I said, what is up? You know, because if I was eating like this any other time in my life, I'd be losing more weight. So I just started losing weight again. I broke the plateau, lost 8 pounds last month. How did I do that? Well, my brain or my disease, by the grace of God, God lifted enough character defects that I was able to see that I needed to change my food plan. I couldn't follow my nutritionist's food plan anymore. I needed some different structures. And if music's the only thing that motivates me, why don't I dance? Right? So it just like occurred to me, like, what? So I've been dancing every single morning. I have like 10 playlists right now. Okay. And So God gave me this gift and, you know, I might as well use it to help my health. So that's how I broke a weight loss plateau. So again, it was also a deep dive with another sponsor through the steps again, because I had to figure out what was going on. I was really resistant to certain things. For me, it was counting calories I was resistant for because of my past experience with dieting and how that made me crazy. But now it's not making me crazy. I everything's in an app and everything's very objective and scientific, and I'm dropping a lot of that baggage. Again, I'm not dropping it. I can't take credit for that. Honestly, the laziness with self-care has been lifted, and that's by God. I did not do that. The way this program works is, you know, you recover and you look back like, wait, what happened? What, that's gone? Really? Like, you know, my husband's not fighting with me anymore. I'm making money. I'm paying my bills. I don't have any debt. You know, I've lost weight, kept it off. Now I'm losing it again. I'm dancing every morning. I'm actually taking care of myself. I'm showering every day. Making sure, you know, my clothes are washed and looked easy. Like, these are all things that when I'm in my disease don't happen, right? But it's the unity and the honesty to the level of which we are capable of being honest with our consciousness and letting go, just saying what we got to say, saying what the truth is, always with kindness, love, and patience and tolerance. okay? But letting go of trying to twist my words to have somebody else behave some way, that's insane. I didn't realize it was insane because I was doing it for most of my life. But God lifted that one. I don't do it. My text messages, if a client reaches out, can you do this? It's either yes or no. I'm not explaining. I'm not going into stuff. But yeah, just straight kindness. Thank you. Straight kindness, tolerance, patience, and love, and honesty. All wrapped up, right? Say what's on my mind, but don't say it in any way but kindness. It requires pause. I meditate every day. I've got a couple of sponsees. I just took on a third. I work a hard spiritual program every day. And I'm so, so, so grateful. With that, I pass. And thank you very much for this opportunity.